Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. We hope and pray that your mindset has been lifted up as we think about the cares and the struggles and the worries of this world, and be able to put those out of our minds at this time, to be able to focus on the words of eternal life. Thank you for all the leaders, for all the prayers that have been led, and thankful to feel much better this afternoon than this morning. Appreciate the visitors that are here tonight. If you turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 33, verses 13 through 22 is what we'll be reading. Psalm 33, verses 13 through 22. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Psalm 33, beginning in verse 13. The scripture says, "The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From his dwelling place he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all, he who understands all their works. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, according as we have hoped in you." I'm going to focus our attention on the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. The lesson being tonight, the fear of God. We recognize, or should recognize, concerning our lives, there doesn't seem to be much fear of God before many people. The recognition is that God is the creator of the universe, that all people need to fear him. But as especially as you look on this passage here, as the Lord looks upon, his eye is on those who fear him. As we think about concerning, Lord willing, that we are ones that fear him, we recognize concerning the power that he has. Remember that as the apostles were going to the most part, they were going to be put to death for the cause of Christ. And they were told to not fear those who kill the body, but they're unable to kill the soul, but fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. In Matthew 10, verse 28, you think about the moral corruption of the Gentiles. They have no fear of God, and thus God gives them up to the lust of their flesh to commit those sins that are worthy of death. In Romans 1, verses 18 through 32, we think about concerning the point when the conclusion of Solomon, when all that's been heard is this: fear him and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is our responsibility before God. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35, as the Apostle Peter preaches, remembering that they didn't understand concerning the gospel, when Jesus said, "You go preach the gospel to every creature," they're in their mindset, it's the Jews. The Jews are God's chosen people, and it took a persecution for them to go out to the Gentiles. Remember, the Apostle Peter didn't even want to go to Cornelius' household until he received that vision three times, and now he understood. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34, he said in Acts 10, verse 34, opening his mouth, Peter said, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him." That we might think about, as far as being Americans, that we have a special place in God's heart. No, God desires that everyone in every nation fears him. And a person who does what is right is welcome to him, to have that fellowship with him. So what is the fear of the Lord? Do we have it? Do we have that reverential awe and respect for God that we should in our hearts? It's going to be demonstrated by our attitude. It's going to be demonstrated by our behavior, how we act and how we react, that we should have a dread of displeasing God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian brethren, based upon the promises that he just mentioned about, "I will be a father to you, you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. He said, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So coupled with faith and love, it compels us to obey God. So as we think about the fear of God, we talk about the fruit and the benefits of the fear of God. Hopefully, as we think about it, as we've been studying through the book of Proverbs, it all begins concerning knowledge with fear, doesn't it? We think about concerning parents, and it's no wonder as you think about parents, they aren't training their children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, and what the Lord has said, we'll just kind of let them do whatever they want. What's the beginning of knowledge? Well, it's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So it is a chief part of knowledge and wisdom. Some people believe that they know more than God. That, okay, I realize that was the scripture says, but I have my own ideas, and we're in the 21st century, and that's just an old dusty book. It doesn't have any relevance to today. Oh, yes, it still does. Because God is still alive. And God is in heaven. And the only reason that we're still alive today is because the power of God. As you think about concerning Son having all authority in heaven and on earth, He upholds all things by the word of His power. And so when you stop and you think about that, our lives are totally dependent upon God, that we need to recognize we don't know more than God. We need to listen to Him. Those who refuse, they're going to suffer the consequences of their decisions, of their actions. In Proverbs 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you alone will bear it. The reason that we know concerning this life is because of the Word of God, because He has given us a revelation that we can read and we can understand and we can respond to and obey. So let us honor His wisdom. In Romans chapter 1, in that chapter that we had referenced earlier concerning the Gentiles turning away from God, which is really like our society today, In Romans chapter 1, we see concerning others who don't honor God's wisdom, if we don't give thanks to God, Romans 1 verse 21, even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. You see how the importance of honoring Him as God, giving thanks to God, when we don't do that, you see what is going to happen concerning that, hey, we think that we're smarter than God. That's foolishness. In Proverbs chapter 15, I'm going to back to Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 15, what Solomon says by inspiration. In Proverbs chapter 15, in verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. We talked about pride this morning, and you think about concerning those who are prideful, they're not going to submit to what the Lord has spoken, what He has said. But as we recognize concerning, here's the Word of God, here's the instruction that we receive that recognizes that we should have humility before Him, the beginning of wisdom, honoring God's wisdom, for without the fear of God, we are foolish. It also leads people to depart from evil. In the next chapter, in Proverbs 16 and verse 6, by loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. So we recognize that concerning all the wickedness, all the sin, all the evil that is going on there, the Word of God is going to help prevent us from following righteousness. departing from evil. We're not going to be entrapped by that as a result. Aren't you thankful for God's instruction that we don't get caught up in sin in that way? For in Proverbs 8 in verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate. Remember Proverbs 3 verses 5 through 7, the trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, do what? Acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And so concerning, it all begins in our mindset. Concerning what is our mindset? We recognize concerning that we're going to trust in our own wisdom. We're going to fail. We're going to fall. We're going to do evil. We're going to be separated from God as a result. We're going to suffer the eternal consequences. But we trust the Lord with all our heart. We're going to be guided by Him. We're going to be guided by His paths. We're not going to follow evil as a result. A few passages looking back in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 13. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, there's some warnings and instructions that are given from Moses to the children of Israel here. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, here's the warning. It said, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God, notice, why is he allowing that to happen? For the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. Why? Because he has counseled rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery to seduce you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from among you. And especially, you look in verse 6, if your brother, your mother's son, and your son or your daughter, or the wife you cherish, or your friend, who is as your own soul, entice you secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, whom you neither you nor your fathers have known, the gods of the people who are around you, near you or far from you, from one end of the earth to the other. You shall not yield to him or listen to him. Your eyes shall not pity him. You shall not spare or conceal him. But you shall surely, what? Can't believe this in the Word of God, somebody says. Wait a minute. Your friend, your brother, your mother, son, your son or daughter, your wife you cherish, you shall what? You shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. So you shall stone him to death because he has sought to seduce you from the Lord your God, who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of Israel. Then all Israel will hear and fear. That's what the King James and New King James said. Here in New American Standard said, be afraid, and will never again do such a wicked thing among you. You might think about how strict and how stringent that is, but so that other people are going to fear God, that this is serious, that you not be dissuaded from going after and serving other gods. But of course, we remember what had happened as they go into the land and they are idolaters as a result. But the whole point is concerning the instruction that people will hear and fear God as a result. When you think about a penalty that is meted out and all the people hear in fear, we have a difficulty in our society even concerning punishing those who are evil doers and kill lots of people. And it's obvious that they have done so. Well, that's just cruel and unusual punishment to put him to death. Well, really, what about all the people that died as a result of his hand, the bloodshed that as a result, and all the people fear as a result of that punishment as a result? You see how concerning our society doesn't really fit in with concerning fearing God and really obeying him. But we recognize concerning what God has said, what God has spoken, that we're going to reap what we have sown. You see, concerning the whole point of instruction was so that they would depart from evil. That's why it was so strict. That's why it was so stringent as a result. And so all the people will hear and fear. Go a few chapters later, Deuteronomy chapter 17. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, concerning the priest, that they were listened to the priest here in Deuteronomy chapter 17. Here he's going to be the judge and he's going to declare your verdict here. Deuteronomy 17, verse 9. Verse 10, you shall do according to the terms of the verdict which they declare to you from the place which the Lord chooses, and you shall be careful to observe according to all that they teach you, according to the terms of law which they teach you, and according to the verdict which they tell you, you shall do. You shall not turn aside from the word which they declare to you to the right or to the left. Notice at verse 12, the man who acts presumptuously by not listening to the priest who stands there to serve the Lord your God, nor to the judge, that man shall die. Thus you shall purge, what? You shall purge the evil from Israel, that all the people will hear and fear and will not act presumptuously again. These strict terms, the death penalty was so that the rest of the people will hear and fear God, that they'll respond in the right way. But that's considered mean. And that's where, well, you should come to God out of love, not out of fear. Well, you look at a difference in attitude and mindset as you think about what God has spoken, what God has said in these passages here. In chapter 21, you think about if this instruction was true today. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, how many people would lose their lives? How many rebellious children would? Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18, if any man is a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, notice that the scripture says, when they chastise him, not just let him go on his own way, they chastise him, he will not even listen to them. Then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death. So you shall what? So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel hear of it and fear. All Israel hear and fear. And of course, we're not suggesting that, hey, well, the death penalty for children, see how foolish and ignorant concerning what the Bible says. The whole point is that people might overlook concerning that God was serious about rebellion. And it starts young and it starts early. And the recognition is concerning the penalty was death. It was very serious. Because you recognize in Romans chapter 1, we list all those other sins, including murders. One of those was being disobedient to parents. That children need to hear and fear. As we think about concerning the fear of God, that you've heard the old expression, I guess, think about that, you know, that mom or dad put the fear of God in them. Or here's the punishment that is meted out. We don't really hear much of that. And again, we're not talking about the death penalty. For those who might say, well, Steve said that. No, that's not. I'm not trying to make that application from the text. The whole point is that the sin would be purged, that you're going to depart from evil when you see the punishment that is meted out to others as a result. And then one more, Deuteronomy chapter 31, another one from Deuteronomy. Here, as Moses has written down the law, you could say this is the death address of Moses. He's not going to speak too many words before he's going to pass away in this context. And so he talks about appearing before God and reading this law in front of all Israel in their hearing in verse 11. So all Israel is going to hear the word of God. Assemble the people, verse 12. The men and the women and children and the alien who is in your town, so that they may hear and learn and fear the Lord your God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law. Their children who have not known will hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess. How are they going to know? How are they going to learn to fear God? They're going to read the Word of God. They're going to read it and learn it and take heed to it. Because this is from God. This is God speaking to them. And thus they needed to hear and learn to fear God. Because if not, they're going to follow the rest of the world into sin, into error, into wickedness. Yes, the benefit of the fear of God, it leads people to depart from evil. And also that we pursue righteousness. Going back a few chapters, Deuteronomy chapter 10, and verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 and 13. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I have commanded you today? For what reason? Oh, well, God's commandments is for preventing people from having fun. I remember hearing that when I was younger. Well, you must be wanting to be a preacher. You don't want people to have fun. God doesn't want people to have fun. Is that what the Bible says here? No, the whole thing is, as you look upon it, it is done for your good. It's done for your benefit. To fear the Lord your God. He's the one who created you in his image. He's the one who obviously loves you more than anybody else in this world. He created you in his image. He sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. And aren't we all thankful for that? And so it leads us to pursue righteousness as we would obey him. A few chapters back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he said, "You shall," in verse 13, "you shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name." We often point out concerning that we want to worship God in spirit and in truth. Recognize we want to do according to his truth and not be add to or take away from the word of God, but also have our heart involved, that we're going to worship him in spirit, that our minds aren't going to be focused on other things, as we recognize concerning those who would just even go to a funeral service and the behavior that goes on, the demeanor of individuals sometimes, it's sometimes out of control. And you think about concerning that, well, you know, some in the Church of Christ would say, well, your services are like being in a funeral service. Well, are we not remembering our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who died for us to show that respect and reverence for him, for his word? And that we're not running down the aisles and dancing and jumping up and down in that way, as people think about concerning the outward display of outward display is the only way that you show emotion in some way, to show that you're really that you really have the spirit in some way. Well, we want to worship God in spirit and truth, as John 4 verse 24 teaches us. In Matthew chapter 4, as Jesus is being tempted by the devil, in Matthew chapter 4, as Satan, the devil, is tempting him, took him to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all its glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall what? You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." I want you to notice concerning worship and service there. We, even among brethren, as far as this idea that, well, everything we do is worship. No, not everything we do is worship. We have this time of worship, and then as we go from here, is service. We recognize concern that we want to worship him in spirit and truth, and then serve him. We want to serve him faithfully. As you think about living out our lives concerning those commands we mentioned, when Jesus asked, what is the greatest commandment in law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You see, concerning our worship towards God, our service towards God, and our service to our fellow man, we're going to pursue righteousness. We're going to do the things that are pleasing to him in his sight. And Proverbs chapter 14, it also gives protection and strength, fearing God. In Proverbs chapter 14, verses 26 and 27, where Solomon says, by inspiration, "In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. See, it isn't a matter of concerning, well, you fear God, you're just going to fear God that you're going to get struck by lightning if you do something wrong, maybe in some way. And think about it, that's not the way God is. You recognize concerning the different points in history where God did strike people dead, usually for those who knew better, and to recognize concerning that God is merciful and God is kind. We fear his law and we respect him that we're going to depart from evil and pursue righteousness. But there is also protection and strength in fearing God. And going back to Psalm 33, our passage that we started off with, where the scripture said, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name. We think about concerning that through God, through the sacrifice of his son, that we can have the forgiveness of sins, that we can have the hope of everlasting life. Through our great high priest, so we can go boldly to the throne of grace, to receive grace and mercy to help in time of need. Hebrews 4, verses 15 through 16. Aren't you thankful for that? That Jesus can sympathize with our weaknesses any time of the day or night, that we can go boldly to the throne of grace. We have that fear of him. We know he loves us. We know he cares for us. And we recognize concerning, you know, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repent of our sins, that we can have the forgiveness of sins. We can have a clear conscience as a result. If we don't have fear God, if we don't fear him, where is going to be the moral restraint coming from? There is going to be no moral restraint. When people don't fear God, just anything goes. And there's violence in the streets and a disrespect for the law. And sadly, we see that police officers are in open season. Just think about the one in Houston just yesterday, just being in the gas station and being put to death. You think about there's no fear of God. Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writing to brethren here, Romans chapter 3, notice concerning individuals. He charged that all Jews and Greeks are all under sin. In Romans 3, verse 9, "As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known." There is no fear of God before their eyes. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. What is the hope of mankind? The only hope of mankind is in Jesus Christ. That's the only hope of everlasting life. You think about concerning the fear of God, it begins with, as we think about knowledge, is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. When we learn from that instruction, we read and we understand, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, that's a big thing. We all have sinned. Not me, somebody says. We're of an accountable age. We all have sinned. We have all lied or done something wrong. Maybe even failed to do something that was right. As James 4, verse 17, "The one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." So we recognize, sort of an accountable age, we have been separated from God. And so we learn, we study, and we learn we are sinners. We recognize we need to turn from our sins. And here Jesus Christ in the first century came when you had a wicked and perverse generation. Yes, you had these religious leaders, and they were the greatest stumbling block to the people who appeared righteous. They appeared righteous before all the people. Long prayers and here they appeared holy. Yes, they did things. They did a lot of holy things. They did a lot of religious things, but they did them to be noticed by men. And Jesus exposed that. Preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they put him to death. God raised him up from the dead. The apostles were eyewitnesses, and they preached the gospel to every creature. Those who believed in Jesus Christ, they recognized they had crucified the Son of God. What shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, the Apostle Peter said, for the remission of your sins. In the name of Jesus Christ, there's the authority. And that message still, that's powerful today. Those who have the fear of God are not going to just accept of what a false teacher says. Just accept Christ as your personal Savior. We're going to point them to the Word, because only through Christ can they have the forgiveness of sins. A false teacher is not going to give them the forgiveness of sins, telling them what they want to hear. What does the book say? What does the Word of God say? We want to have their forgiveness of sins. Those who gladly received the message were baptized. They didn't argue about it, as so many do today. Those who gladly received the message were baptized. Right at that day, about 3,000 souls. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And you can be added to the church also tonight if you're subject to heaven's invitation. If you're a penitent believer, be like Saul and what he had done when he was told to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He responded immediately. He arose and was baptized. Or if you need to be restored, as you think about, I don't have the fear of God that I should, that it's reflected in my sinful ways and patterns, and I recognize that, done something of a public nature, you can be restored back to the fold once again. Judgment day is coming. And the whole thing is, somebody might say, well, you know, I just don't want to. I'm just going to put it off, or I may never do it. Recognize at the end, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is it going to be now, or is it going to be later when it's too late? When it's too late. Don't let it be too late. Today is a day of salvation. God calls. We encourage you, come right now as we stand and sing.
The Lord in the light.